looking here on the top of Ted Vavam and Aleph, the two dots, the Gemara here is discussing the second half of the Mishnah, which is a case where the Hekdesh came before the Mum. And the Gemara wants to know, Minahane Mile, how do we know what the status of the animal is post the fact that it had a Mum and then was redeemed? Some of the things that we know that happen are, first of all, you're Patur, Mina Bechura, Mina Matanot. As opposed to in the earlier case, where Muman came before Hekdesham and the animal is completely Chulin, over there, you're Chayav in Bechura, you're Chayav in Matanot. Over here, where Hekdesham preceded Muman, even after the redemption, there's a residual something in this animal that exempts it from Bechura and exempts it for Matanot. The Gemara wants to know, Menahane Mile, how do we know that? The Tanur Banan, so the Gemara brings from a Braita, Tzvi. The problem with this word Tzvi is that it appears a number of times in the Torah, and it's unclear where they're quoting it from. The Gemara later on is going to quote from a Pasuk of Ach, and it's the beginning of the Pasuk that says Ach is a miut, then that is from Devarim Yudbet, Pasuk Chabbet, and that's the way that the Rabbeinu Gershom explains the Braita. He actually spells out the Pasuk and says, Tanur Banan, Ach, kasher, ye'achel et atzvi v'etayal, kein tochlenu atamei v'ator yachdab yochlenu. That's the way that the Rabbeinu Gershom explains it, and he says it's coming from that Pasuk Chavbet. The problem with that is that that Pasuk is in the Parshia of Dvarim Yudbet, which is speaking about Basar Tava. Not speaking about Psulei Mukdashim, it's speaking about Chulin. The Pasuk before is the Pasuk that we spent all our time in Chulin on, which is ki yachak mimcha makom asher yivchar Hashem lokech l'sum shemo sham v'zavachta mi b'karcha mitzon acha asher natan Hashem lecha kasher tziviticha v'chalta b'sherecha b'chol avat nafshecha. So there you have kasher tziviticha and v'zavachta. That's the source for all of halachot mishem misinai that we saw in Chulin. The next pasuk is ach kasher yachel, which makes it sound that that's a reference to basar tava. And so therefore the other alternative is that it's the Dvarim Yudbet Pasuk Ted Vav. Because over there it says, Rak b'chol avat nafshecha, tizbach v'achaltu basar, kir b'rchat Hashem lukecha, shenetan lecha, b'chol sharecha, atamei v'ator yochlenu, katzvi v'cha'ayau. That pasuk, Chazal, in the Midrash Halacha, say is not speaking about basar ta'ava, because that's already covered in pasuk Chavalef and Chavbet. This pasuk is speaking about Psulei Muktashim, and would be the better source to bring that Tzvi from Ayal from. The word that's quoted in the Gemara is Tzvi, which appears in neither of the psukim. One is Hatzvi and one is Katzvi. And if you look in Rashi, when he quotes Tzvi, he says Katzvi v'Ayal is the pasuk you'd bet Ted Vav, even though it's Katzvi v'Ayal there, but it's not what's written in the Chafet at the Tzvi v'Ayal. So there are problems from both perspectives. There's a problem that if you quote from the pasuk Devarim you'd bet Ted Vav, which is Tzvi Psulim Muktashim, you're missing where the Ach that's going to come up in the Gemara in a little bit. If you quote from Chavet, which has the word Ach in it, but the psukim over there don't seem to be speaking about Psulei Muktashim, they seem to be speaking about Basar Ta'ava. So just be aware of that fact. Tosafot somewhat addresses that and says that the words Katzvi V'Chayal appear three times. We're going to bump into it later. In Dvarim Tedvav Chavet, there's also Katzvi V'Chayal by Bechor. And then Tosafot wants to know, the Gemara lays out Limudim later on, with regards to what we do with the Tzvi V'Ayal, all three of them. And then he says, based on that, which is left over to deal with what the Gemara is saying over here? The Tosfot is bothered from a different perspective, but a similar problem, which is, if you use Tzvi and Ayal in all these different paces for Limudim, then what's left over, what's available for Limud over here? And then he tries to fit in the pieces of the puzzle that we have here into the Limudim that we find later on in the Gemara. The Gemara said Tzvi. Matzvi patur mina bechura, just like a tzvi is released from bechura, that is because kol bechor sheivaleid bivcharcha ubitzoncha hazachar taktish l'Hashem lokecha lo tavod bechor sherecha lo tagoz bechor tzonecha. So the limitation by bechor is bakar and tzon. So tzvi is exempt from bechura. Apsule mukdashim turim mina bechura. So too, psule mukdashim which are compared to a tzvi have the same din and they're patur mina bechura. Alright, so now you found me the exemption for Bechora. What about Matanot? By Bechor it says Bakar and Tzon. Tzvi doesn't qualify. If you're comparing Psulei Mukdashim to Tzvi, then you're exempt from Bechora. What about Matanot? Tamalomar Ayal. Katzvi v'cha Ayal. Ma Ayal patur mina Bechora u mina Matanot. Absulim Kedushim, Turim, and Bechora, Umina Matanot. So just like an Ayal is exempt from Bechor, and is also exempt from Matanot, Bechor we already know from Tzvi, now Matanot we're going to learn from Ayal. And just like Ayal is exempt from Matanot, it goes by, Matanot says, Imshor Imseh, and so an Ayal is not a Shor or a Seh, so it's exempt from Matanot. So to over here, we're exempt from Matanot. Now, what's interesting in the progression of the Braita is the Braita assumes that Bechora would be easier to release than Matanot. It goes through two stages. It says, oh, I know Tzvi, that's Bechora. Then I have Ayal, and he's made Matanot. We then have to clarify, why is it that Bechora is so obvious, and Matanot require an additional limud? Ima Tzvi v'Ayal chelban mutar, just like a Tzvi and Ayal, which are chayot, their chaylev, their fats are mutarim, because chaylev of a behema is restricted, but a chaylev chaya is not restricted. That's the case, then maybe by psula muktashim, if you compare it to a tzvi v'ayal, and you're telling me now it looks like a tzvi and ayal, then maybe their chaylev should also be mutarim. Apsula muktashim chelban mutar. Tamad omar, ach. That brings that pasuk ach. That's the varim yud bech chavet. That's why many say that the tzvi and ayal comes from that pasuk, because of the word ach, which is quoted here in the Gemara. So chilek, and therefore ach teaches you that not everything is like a tzvi and ayal. That means that it's like a tzvi and ayal by tour from Bechora and Matanot. It's not like a tzvi and ayal in terms of chilek. It will be restricted in chilek. Now the Gemara goes back and discusses the Braita. Amamar, utziyata Bechor, lo utziyata Matanot. I would think to say that you're patur mina Bechora, not Matanot. Maishna utziyat bechor. Why would you think that bechor you're more likely to exempt psulei muktashim more so than matanot? She'ein shave bakol, because it's not equivalent to all, or in essence, it only applies to males that are firstborn. It's not something that applies across the board. Below utziyat matanot she'shavot bakol. The other hand, matanot apply to all behemot zachar nikeva, firstborns, non-firstborns. It applies to all of them. Since Matanot have a broader scope, and Bechor is a much more limited scope, if I'm going to exclude something, I'm going to exclude the item that is more narrow in scope, and leave the item that is broader in scope in place. So that's what Talmud Omer Ayal. So that explains the progression of the Braita, why the Braita assumed that first we would knock out Bechor, and then only after the second Limud do we knock out Matanot. Amar Lei Rav Papa Le Abaye. So Rav Papa now says to Abaye about this Braita, Imat Tzvi v'Ayal, Ein Oto ve'et b'no noheg ben. Just like by Tzvi and Ayal, there's no din of Oto ve'et b'no, Apsule Muktashim, Ein Oto ve'et b'no noheg ben. So too by Psule Muktashim, you should have the same din, which is if you're going to compare it to Tzvi v'Ayal, and by Tzvi and Ayal, you said Patur min Bechora, you said Patur min Amatanot, and you even said, no Easter chalev, and you needed the word ach to bring chalev back in and say that it's still asur, then why don't we look at other items that don't apply to a tzvi v'ayal, including the fact that ein oto ve'et b'no noheg ben, because it says, shor oseh, by oto ve'et b'no. And therefore, only by behemot, shor v'seh, is it applicable. It's not applicable by chayot. And same thing by b'sulei muktashim. Amalei, he says back to him, l'may medamit luhu. What are you comparing them to? Ilu chulin, if you classify them as chulin, oto ve'et b'no noheg bo, then oto ve'et b'no is applicable there. Ve'ilu kodoshim, if you're making them into kodoshim, oto ve'et b'no noheg bo, then oto ve'et b'no also applies over there. If you look in the Rabbeinu Gershom, it's on the first wide line of the Rabbeinu Gershom, he explains that what Abaye is saying to Rav Papa over here is, ipatart lehu mibichora matanot. If you tell me that they don't have a din of Bechora and Matanot, k'medaymet lehu l'kodeshim gimurim, then you're classifying them as if they are kodesh. V'chei ka mechayvet lehu b'Bechora Matanot, heki dekadam mum kavol ha'kdesham, k'medaymet lehu l'chulin gimurim. On the other hand, if you are mechayiv them in Bechora and Matanot, where the mum came before the hekdesh, then you're comparing them to chulim gimurim. Aval ipatart lehu melto ve'epino, lo medamit lehu lo kodoshim velo lechulin. If you now release them from oto ve'et b'no, then you're not comparing them to either. What the Rabbeinu Gershom is pointing out is that the din that is being expressed here is not exactly what we thought. Wasn't that when you compare psulim of tashim to tzviva ayal, suddenly you get all these turim because they're like a chaya and not a behemah. That'd be the simple way to read this, that psulim of tashim are treated like chayot and not like behemot. What the Rabbeinu Gershom says is that we have two possible paradigms here. You have something that's kulin and you have something that's kodashim. We know that kodashim are exempt from matanot. They're exempt from bechorah. And we have chulin, which are chayavin, in matanot and in bechorah. And what Abaye is saying to him is, let's look at which paradigm applies in each place. When the mum came before the hekdesh, then the paradigm that we're saying is that they're chulin the gamrei. Since they're chulin the gamrei, therefore, chayavin bechorah, chayavin matanot, and all the other things are mutar bahana. On the other hand, suleyam muktashim, where you had the hekdesh before the mum, over there, we compared it to a tzviv ayal, which tells us that there's some residual kedusha left in this animal, and that residual kedusha is what's releasing it from bechorah and matanot. And therefore, he's saying to him, otov ve'penot, take your choice. Which paradigm or which model do you want to use? If you want to use the model of chulin, otov ve'penot applies. If you want to use the model of kodashim, otov ve'penot applies. So no matter which model you think is the model or the paradigm for here, it doesn't really matter. Otov ve'epino has application. That's the way that the Rabbeinu Gershom expresses it. Again, the simpler way to read it is that when you have psulim uktashim are compared to a tzvi and ayal, means we're treating them like chayot. And therefore you would say, patur min habichora, patur min hamatanot, even maybe patur from the isra of chelev, but they've not been for ach. And he's saying the same thing. Otov ve'epino should also have that exemption from chayot, but Rabbi is coming back and saying, wait a minute, it doesn't really matter. You have a behemah here. And in the end, if it's a behemah, then otov ve'epino applies to it equally in kodoshim and chulin. And you can't say that it's a completely a chaya. It still has character traits of a behemah. And over here, irrespective of whether it's chulin and kodoshim, those character traits should obligate you in otov ve'epino. Again, the Rabbeinu Gershom's formulation makes it make more sense as to what this issue of kodoshim and chulin is. Amar Lei, so Rav Papa responds to him, well, now that you've created this new paradigm, ach, yochi, gabi, chilbo, nami, nemaochi. So why don't we say the same thing with regards to chelef? Lamai midamit lehu. Ilu chulin. If you want to compare it to chulin, chelban asur. There, chelef is asur. Chelef beima is always asura. Vilu kodoshim, chelban asur. If you compare it to kodoshim, it's also asur. So again, with the Rabbeinu Gershom's paradigm, pick your poison. Doesn't matter whether you establish that this is chulin or you establish that this is kodeshim, both of those have a din isur chelev. The end result is that they're both asur v'chelev. So Rav Papa is pointing to Abaye, now that you set it up that way and say otov ve'epino is applicable irrespective of whether you're chulin or kodeshim, say the same thing by chelev. Why did the Braita have to come and say, el alav mi amart, ach velo chelban? Didn't the Braita express it this way, that ach comes to exclude chelev? Emanami, ach velo to ve'et bino. Why don't you also say ach and not oto ve'et bino? So according to Rashi's reading over here, the suggestion is that the word ach should exclude two things. Even though there's only one miut, it's going to exclude both of these items. Which means that now you have a model which says that something that's hektesh, that gets a mum afterwards, it's compared to a chaya, and an eino chanami. It's a chaya, not kulin, not muktashim. It's a chaya. But you have certain rules of the chaya that are not going to apply here, which is that it's going to have chelev that is asur, and it's going to have otov ve'epino that's asur, and those all derive from the word ach. Or in essence, it's not a chaya, not a behema. It is both a chaya and the behema. It's a chaya for certain principles. It's a behema for other principles. How do you know which are which? Rashi says, mistavra. It's logical. The hekesh shalom miftar mi b'chura matanot atyo, that the hekesh is going to come to exclude the bechor and matanot, ve'ach lemeisa chelbo ve'otov ve'no, and ach comes to restrict you in these items. The hashtem edamin alu lekodoshim gimurim. We're treating psulim mekdashim like hekdesh. Diamin an ipcha. If you want to do it the opposite way around, lo medamin alu lekodoshim ve'lo lechulin. It's not going to look like either of these. So at least here you have a paradigm that's kodesh. Kodesh is patur min bechura, patur min matanot. Chayav proto ve'epino, and its chelev is asur. So I have some paradigm that exists that you're saying the psulim and tashim are like. Therefore, if I'm going to treat it partially like a behemah, partially like a chayah, I'm going to do it in a manner that creates something that exists already, which is kodoshim, which has all of these principles. If you flip it around and say, no, b'chorah matnot chayav, chelev and otov no, you are patur, we don't have any such paradigm. So then what is the model that you're using for the psulei on the kodoshim? That's the way that Rashi learns it. Interesting enough, the Rabbeinu Gershom has a different girsa over here, and that is impactful. Our Gemara says, Ella. The Ella seems to be that Rapapa is making a suggestion to Abaye, which is Rapapa is challenging Abaye and saying, listen, if you have Ach to take out Chilev, then Ach should be there to take out Oto Ved Beno as well. Now, that doesn't mean that he really believes that's true. It just means that he's challenging Abaye's whole model, the logical progression that was presented until this point. The Ella comes to say, this doesn't seem to work. That could have been the way you read it. Rashi doesn't read it that way, and Rashi says the Ach in the end actually is Mimayit both of these items, even though it's one miut. What pushed Rashi in that direction might be the Girsa of the Rabbeinu Gershom. Instead of having Ella, the Rabbeinu Gershom has the Girsa Amarle Abaye. Abaye responded to Rapapa. This is not the continuation of Rapapa's question, it's the response from Abaye. The same way Ach took care of Chelev, it's going to take care of Oto Ved Beno. Now, interesting, in the notes over here, in Ot Aleph, he says, it's clear that the Rabbeinu Gershom had a different Gersa than our Gemara. He claims that it was a Ta'ut Sofer. The Ta'ut Sofer said, Aleph, Lamed, quotation, Aleph. Amarle, Abaye. He read it as Ella, and Ella got into the Gemara, and it was really Amarle, Abaye. But that changes the dynamic over here, because if you say, Amarle, Abaye, then Abaye is responding. It's not just part of Rapapa's question, that challenge to the logic. It's an answer. So according to Rashi, the answer is, Ach, it's going to be Mimayit, two things. And the reason it does that is because we have a model of Kodesh. And the model of Kodesh allows you to take out two things, include two things, and therefore you come out with Kodesh. The Anor Psulim Kodeshim are going to be treated just like Kodeshim. And therefore, the reading of the Rabbeinu Gershom, in all likelihood, is probably the same Gersa that Rashi had. Because then it explains why Rashi thinks that there's a real limud here, and not just a challenge to Abaye's logic. Rav Amar, Ach, lo tovev beno hu da'ata, v'chelbo mit bindamo nafka. So now, depending on what you thought the previous statement of the Gemara is, Rav is either coming to argue on Abaye's explanation, Abaye says Ach takes care of both of them, and Rav is arguing, or if you say that the previous girsa was Ella, and that means that Rapapa undermined Abaye's position, now you need another way to get these limudim. And Rav is now coming to provide that answer, which is, he says, Einor Hanami, Ach, takes care of Chelev. That's why you're still Chayav B'Chelev. But, Chelbo Midamo Nafka. We learn out Chelev from Dam. Because the Pasuk says, in Dvarim Tetvav, Pasuk Chav Gimel, which is actually speaking about a Bechor, and not about Psulei HaMukdashim, it says, Rak et Damo, Lo tochel ala aretz tishpachenu kamayim. So now Tosafot already asks, I'm not sure why they brought the pasuk over there. It says v'har beitema d'lo ramayti. Why don't they just bring the pasuk that is found by the psukim that we're quoting by Tzvi and Ayam? Rak chazak v'ilti akol adam. That's Devarim Yud Bet Chav Gimel. Or if you think the quotation before was from Yud Bet Tetvav, then in Yud Bet Tzayin it says rak adam lo tochelu. So you have restrictions of dam that exist both in the Yud Bet Tet Zayin, Yud Bet Chav Gimel, which are psukim right after the ones that we quoted before of Tzvi Ayam. So Tosafot is just not sure why the Gemara quoted the pasuk from Bechor in Perek Tetvav. Be that as it may, Rak et damo lo tochel, my damo. What does it mean you can't eat the dam? Ilema damo mamash. If you think it means it's blood itself, lo yele daman de Tzvi Ayam. You're telling me all these items are compared to Etzvi V'ayal. The third place where it's compared to Etzvi V'ayal is in Parak Tetvav, Pasuk Chavet, Bisharecha Tochlenu Atameh V'tor Yachtav Katzvi V'chayal, Raket Damolo Tochel Al Arz Nishpichenu Kamayim. Well, if it's Etzvi V'ayal, why would you think you can eat the blood? Atu Daman Etzvi V'ayal Mishari. Since when is the blood of Etzvi V'ayal Mutar? If it's Etzvi V'ayal, then Etzvi V'ayal's blood is Asur, so too this Bechor Balmum should also have the same din, or these Psulei Mukdashim should have the same din. Elo damo chelbo. When it says dam, it doesn't really mean dam, it means chelev. It means fat. So then, the obvious question is, If it means chelev, why did you write dam? Chelev is chelev, dam is dam. Ika davarkana chelev, had the pasuk written chelev, hava mina ahani hekesha vahani kra. If that was the case, I would think that the hekesh works and the pasuk works. Ahani hekesha, the hekesh tells you to compare it to a tzvi v'ayau, which means it's similar to a tzvi v'ayau. The meute mi karet, to tell you that you're not chayav karet. Because the pasuk says that behema is restricted in chelev, not a chaya. And as Rashi notes over here, there's a logical reason to suggest that, because because the pasuk that asers chelev is talking about a korban, or something that's ra'oy le korban. Is in the context of korbanot. And so here, where it has a mum in it, maybe it shouldn't have a din of chelev that is associated with karet. And again, this behema is more likely to look like a chaya in this instance because of the fact that it's not ra'oy the mizbeach. Vahani kra, and the pasuk helps out, the mekam alei b'lav, ba'alma, to tell you that it's restricted in a lav. So you would have thought that the chelev of this psulei mukdashim was downgraded. It's not like regular chelev behema, which is chayav karet. It's not like a chaya and a tzvi, where it's totally mutar. It sits somewhere in between. The hekesh tells you no karet. The isur of chelev, that could have been written in the pasuk. We don't have such a pasuk. But had it written raket chelbol or tuchel, you would think that that's an isur lav. To tell you that it's a lav by psulei hamukdashim. So the pasuk had it written chelev, and the hekesh would have gotten you to this middle position whereby Psulim and Tashim would have chelev that sits in between Echiv Karet and being Mutar. That's why it didn't write chelev. That's why the Torah expressed the chelev here as dam. To tell you, just like the dam is chayav karet, because dam chaya is no different than a dam behema, they're all a restriction of karet, and therefore when it says you're not eating the dam of a psulei muktashim, a b'chor ma'amum, or any of these items, there's an isur karet. So too, this dam, which is really expressing chelev, says that it remains by an isur chelev, an isur karet of chelev. And that's why it expressed it in that manner. Now, the Bali and Tosafot already over here say, we're not sure why that's the case. Because we find in other places that when you remove something or say that it is not part of this paradigm, when it returns it to its former state. And he brings an example from the Gemara further on, that by Tzula Muktashim, HaGozeiz Vo'ovei Behem Sofeg Arbaim, when you work with them, and you do Giza with them, which is restricted, you get Malkot. And we don't say, well, there's a Hekesh of Tzvi V'ayal. Well, Tzvi and Ayal are Mutar V'avotar. They're Mutar in all of these things, and then say, no Lav. And then it says, Tzbach V'lo Giza, and that brings it back into the fold of Yisurim of Kodoshim. We don't say, okay, you know what, it's just an Easter now. It's not a lav anymore, you're not going to get Malkot. We don't bring it to some middle level. When you have a hekesh that takes it out, and a pasuk that brings it back in, when it brings it back in, it brings it back in completely to the former state. And it doesn't bring it to someone in between state. So how come over here, when we have the hekesh that says take it out, and you have a pasuk that says put it back in, when you put it back in, it should be fully in, it should be a chiyuv karet. Why would you ever think there's a chiyuv lav? So the Tosafot himself does not really address it so strongly. But if you look in the Shita Mikubetzet, Odei, he brings two answers to address this issue. Rashi, as an aside, already tried to address the issue because he says that the karet is associated with behema, that's lahakrava. So Rashi said that there's a logical reason to take the psulei muktashim out of the world of karet. Because behema, that's mentioned there, is behema ruya the korban. And this is more like a chaya, where it's not chayav in chelev, because of the fact that it's not ra'uy le mizbeach, and that chelev isur is associated with behema, that is ra'uya the hakrava. So Rashi, in a subtle way, really answers the question of Tosafot. But if you, even without that, the Shita Mikubetzet in Odei brings two different answers. He says, Tosafot chitzoniot omrim arab manoach, delo domi. Over there by Giza, the Torah never says Giza is asur. Over here you have a pasuk telling you that it's asur. When a pasuk tells you it's a sur, you gotta follow the prescription of the pasuk. The prescription of the pasuk is that it's a lav. That's it. By Giza and Avoda, it's a diuk. And that helps by another sugya and tambaki ikar, which is Tosafot is also asking about here, about when something's taken out and put back in, what does it mean when it's put back in? So here, they distinguish between here, where the Pasuk puts it back in explicitly, there you're going to follow the prescription of the Pasuk. But Giza, which is just a diok out of Tizbach, velo Giza, so over there, that diok, all it tells you is, Giza still has its former state. And when it has its former state, it's going to be the full lav and not just an isur. And then he brings from the Rosh a similar concept. The Rosh says that here the Hekesh took it out, and then the Pasuk's trying to put it back in. Over there, it says, Tizbach, I said that you can eat it, and therefore it remains in its original state. It never let it out. The Pasuk's coming to tell you, don't apply the Hekesh over there. Meaning that the Pasuk tells you it's a sur, and therefore it never left the world of the Mukdashim. Whereas over here, the Hekesh removed it, and then the Pasuk put it back in. So again, that's another way to distinguish between the cases is when you have a Hekesh that takes you out and a Pasuk that puts you in, you're going to be in a different place when you get put back in. In the case where the Pasuk tells you, don't take it out at all, don't apply the Hekesh over here, then you're going to remain in the former state, which is at the full-fledged Isur. Those are different ways to distinguish as to why over here we would have downgraded the Chalif had it not been for the fact that it's written as Dam. Whereas in other places, when we say something was taken out and replaced and returned to its former state, that it goes fully back in. And that's because over there, either we're saying that it never left, that's what the Pasuk's telling you, or the nature of how it's being put back in is different. There's no explicit Pasuk, it's only done through a deal. Or as Rashi is saying over here, there's a logic why you would have distinguished over here because of the way that Chalev, or Easter Chalev is expressed. Right now, the Gemara says, V'hatana, ach, v'lo chelbo kamar. Rava's now telling us, Chalev is included because of the Pasuk of Dam. That's not what the Braita said. The Braita said, you know why Chalev is asur? Because of the word ach. Rava is not addressing that at all. Rava has a beautiful drasha, but it has nothing to do with the Braita that said the source for Chalev being asur is ach. Hachi kamar. This is what's meant in the Braita. Ileo nemar damo. Had I not had the Pasuk of damo, which is really chelbo now, hayito mer ach velo chelbo. Shav shenemar damo, lo tove beno hu da'ata. Now that I have chelbo that I can learn out of damo, then Ach teaches me that Otove Beno is also a sur by Psula Muktashim. Now he solves the problem of having two limudim coming out of Ach, because he only has one limud coming out of Ach now, which is Otove Beno. His source for Chalev is a different source. So if that was Rav Papa's criticism of Abaye, then Rava solved that problem now, and he somewhat fit himself back into the Braita. If you think that Abaye's answer was, I can learn two things from Ach, Rova is skeptical of that or provides a different position, which is you only have to learn one thing from Ach, and maybe that's, maybe even the machloka between them is whether you can learn two things or one thing from Ach. Right now, the Gemara continues. Ve'inan yotzim lechulin. They're not released to chulin the gamre. Menahane mile. How do I know that that's the case? So now they quote the pasuk from Dvarim Yudbet Tetvav, which is speaking about Psulei Muktashim, which is why before I suggested that Katsviva Ayahu came from that pasuk, because that's about Psulei Muktashim. Over there it says, Rak b'chol avat nafshecha, tizbach v'achalta. Tizbach, you do shchita. V'achalta, and you eat it. Basar, the flesh. K'birkat Hashem l'kecha shetan l'cha b'chol sharecha. T'meiv da'or yochlenu k'tzvi v'chayal. The Brayta says, tizbach v'lo giza. You're allowed to shecht it, you're not allowed to shear it. Basar v'lo chalav. You can have the flesh, you cannot have the milk. That provides you the restrictions that are mentioned in our Mishnah, which is that you're not allowed for Psulei Muktashim to shear it and to have chalav. Now, if you look carefully at the distinction here, it says, tizbach velo giza. Tizbach is an active verb, which means to shech. Lo giza means not to shear. That means that the restriction is shearing. The shearings themselves would actually be mutarim bahanam, idoraita. It's only me, the Rabbanam, we would answer them. But the pu'ula, the activity that is asur, is the shearing itself. That's what it sounds like from this. Next miyud, it says basar velo chalav. It doesn't say that the chaliva is asura. It says the chalav is asur. So that would say that the product is asur. Interestingly enough, the shita mikubetzet over here in Old Bet says, tizvach velo giza, vehu adin la'avoda. That's the same thing by avoda, nami. Because they're the same thing, which is they're an activity with an animal, a pula with the animal. Tizbach velo giza, which also would say avodah, is restricted. If you do that, you could then extrapolate and suggest that basar velo chalav means that you can eat the basar, not the chalav, which means that anything that is a product of this animal would also be a surbana. And then you could argue that not only is the shearing a sur, but the shearings themselves would be a sur from the chalav, if you're willing to extend it in that way. That's one possibility. The other possibility is to argue basar velo chalav is patterned after the same way tizbach velo gizayas, and to say that the chalav itself is not a surbana, but the chaliva, the actual milking, is what is asur, if you parallel it to the case of tizbach velo giza. But again, the Braita here expresses it in two different ways, which seems to indicate that each one of them is problematic, meaning both the activity with the animal, as well as the product of the animal, are both problematic. V'achalta velo leklavecha. It says in the pasuk, you eat it, but you can't give it to your dogs. Mikan, shein podim et hakodeshim nachilam leklavim. This teaches you that when you redeem psulei kodeshim, you're not allowed to do that in order to feed it to the dogs. Igadamre, there's a different way to parse the limud from the pasuk, which is tizbach v'achalta, in mecha behen et erachila el mishat zvicha v'elech. May only benefit from them or have achila from them from the point of shchita and onwards. Aval podim et hakodeshim nachilam leklavim. But you are allowed to redeem kodeshim to feed them to the dogs. Meaning, depending on what you do with the word achalta, has impact over here. If you say the word tizbach deals with izah, basar deals with chalav, then the word achalta is left over, and now you can say achalta v'lo leklavecha. Then if you use tizbach v'achalta as being a singular tzivuy, which is the only thing you're allowed to do is shecht it and then eat it, that's the only time you can get benefit, is after you've shechted it, you can get the eating benefit from it, then you no longer have achalta available to say achalta v'lo leklavecha, and that would mean that you are mutar to podek kodeshim nachilam neklavim. And as the Rabbeinu Gershom points out, b'kol duchta d'amrinan, anywhere in Shas where it says, hanicha l'man d'amar, ein podim, el l'man d'amar podim, mehocha nafka. This is the source for that machloket throughout Shas, as to whether podim kodeshim nachilam neklavim, or ein podim kodeshim nachilam neklavim. This is this machloket, and this is the source for that machloket throughout Shas, whenever it is quoted. Alright. Vladan v'chalavan asur l'achar pidyonan. The offspring and the milk are asur after you have redeemed them. Hey chidomi. What exactly is the scenario? Ilema di'abar v'it'ale l'achar pidyonan. If it was that they became pregnant and gave birth after they were redeemed, amai. Why should it be problematic? Vlad tzviv ayal ninu. They're the same as an offspring of a tzviv and ayal. And its tzvim and ayal are chulin, and their offspring are chulin. So too psulim ikdashim that became pregnant and gave birth after they were redeemed, the vladot should be totally chulin. So that can't be the scenario. Ela di'abar lifnei pidyonan, v'idyalei l'achar pidyonan. It must be the case where it became pregnant before it was redeemed, and gave birth after it's redeemed. That vlad is problematic. Then the inference is, ha lifnei pidyonan, migdash Nami Kodshe. From there you would say that before they were redeemed, that they are fully Kodesh. So you actually have three different stages over here. If they became pregnant and they gave birth while they were Hekdesh, then they vlad is Kodesh. If they became pregnant while they were Kodesh, redeemed and then gave birth, that's the scenario of our Mishnah, where the vlad is Asur. Then there's a third scenario where it became pregnant and gave birth after the Pidyon, after the redemption, there it's Chulin Begamre. Those are the three different categories that you would have. Mar says, Menahane Mile. Where do we know this from? What you think this question is as a major nafkamina, and what you think the Gemara is going to say later on. Rashi says, Nani Mile, Delifnei Pidyonam Imnodu Kodshe. The Gemara is asking, how do you know that before they're redeemed, that they're Kodesh? Meaning that if it came pregnant and gave birth before you redeemed it, how do you know that that animal is Kodesh? That's the nature of the question according to Rashi. And that will then have implications later on, which we'll point out, which is that if you became pregnant while it was Hekdesh, and then gave birth after it was already redeemed, midoraita, it's mutar legamre. And the Easter that's been spoken about in our Mishnah is all like zera dirabanan. That's the way Rashi learns, and I'll point it out to you later. When we get there, that's how Rashi learns it. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Gershom says over here, the nature of the question is, nani mile di tilad le'achar pidyonot asiran. How do you know that when you became pregnant while it was Kodesh, and then gave birth after it was redeemed, how do you know that that is a sur? That's the source. Now, if you're doing that, that's telling me that me do oraita, that if you were pregnant before the pidyon and gave birth afterwards, it's a sur midoraita. The case in our Mishnah is an isur doraita. Beforehand, it's obvious that they're kodesh, because the animal, the mother itself, is completely ekdesh. It hasn't been redeemed yet. Why wouldn't the blood be ekdesh? Question is, why after it's already redeemed, it's a sur? And therefore, according to the Rabbeinu Gershom, if you have somebody that became pregnant while it was ekdesh and then gave birth after pidyon, it's not like Rashi says where it's only osur midorabanan, it's osur midoraita, and that's the nature of the Menah HaNevi'le over here. That's how you have to read it. And we'll see later on in the Gemara, both of them express that in the conclusion of the Gemara. The Tana Rabbanan, Zachar, l'rabot et avlat, v'nekeva, l'rabot et atmura. The word Zachar comes to include a vlat, and the word nekeva comes to include the tmura. By the Shlamim in Parshat Vayikra, it says, Vim zevach shlamim korbano, im min habakar hu makriv, im zachar, im nekeva, tamim yekruvenu lifnei Hashem. Both the im zachar and nekeva is extraneous. Had the pasuk not said anything, you would have assumed zachar and nekeva, because by Olah it specifies it has to be a zachar. So if by shlamim he wrote nothing, then you would assume you could use both of them. Why did it write im zachar, im nekeva? To tell you certain dinim. One is zachar, l'rabot et avlat. Zachar comes to include a vlad that it's also hekdesh. According to Rashi, that means if it became pregnant and gave birth while it was still hekdesh, then the vlad is hekdesh. Whereas the Rabbeinu Gershom saying if it became pregnant before it was redeemed and then gave birth after it's redeemed, how do I know it's hekdesh or it has kedusha to it? Zachar teaches me that the vlad is hekdesh. Nekeva, l'rabot et tmura. And nekeva comes to include tmura. Interestingly enough, personally, had I had the limud, I would have reversed them. I would have said that Nekeva comes to teach you about a vlad, because Nekeva gives birth to a vlad. And I would have said a zachar teaches you about a tmura. But as the Rabbeinu Gershom notes over here, he quotes from the Gemara in Tmura, which says that zachar and vlad are both male conjugations, and Nekeva and Tmura are female conjugations, and therefore that's how the limud was matched up. You see from that pasuk, that extraneous zachar and Nekeva, that vlad and Tmura do have a kedusha associated with them. V'ein li'ela vlad t'mimim, u'tmura t'mimim. If I had read the pasuk, we're talking about a shlamim, which is a regular korban, I would have assumed it's only true by an offspring of an animal that's ro'oi the mizbeach, that's tamim, and tmura that was done with a tamim. Vlad bale mumim, u'tmurat bale mumim inayim. How do I know that a vlad, an offspring of a bal mum, also is kadosh? And how do I know that tmura of a bal mum also works? Shomer im zachar l'rabot vlad bale mumim. Im nekeva l'rabot tmurat bale mumim. That not only is zachar and nekeva extraneous, the word im in each one of them is extraneous. Im zachar, im nekeva. So I have both items there included. Now the Gemara says, oton vladot shalachar pidyonan ma tehe alehen. Those vladot that are born after the mother is redeemed, what will happen to them? Lifnei pidyonan, before they are redeemed, Miflag pligibu. There is a machloket. Ika demand amar kodshe likarev. Ika demand amar kodshe liriya. Meaning that if it became pregnant and gave birth before it was redeemed, then we know for sure the vlad is kodesh. Either according to Rashi, because we just brought that from the pasuk over here, or according to Rabbeinu Gershom, because it's obvious that the mother is kadosh, that the vlad is going to be kadosh. Now, what is the status of that kedusha? What level of kedusha do you have? Well, that's a machloket. Some say that it's so kadosh that you can put it on the mizbeach, and others say that it's kodshei deri'iyah. So there's a machloket in Tmura as to what the standing of this blood that is born is. Is that kosher to go on the mizbeach? And even though its mother is not ro'oi the mizbeach, but that's only because it had a full form of hekdesh. She had a hekdesh Tmura. She is nitcheit. She is pushed off the mizbeach. But the vlad, which is born in that context, he doesn't have that mum. So maybe he should be rolling in his back. That's one daya. Or the other daya is, since he derives from a kedushat dechuya, because the mother can't go on the mizbeach, so too this vlad is then imbued with a kedushat dechuya, and you have to wait for it to get a mum in it and redeem it. That we know already. The question is, da'achar pidyonan matei alein. What's their status if it became pregnant while it was kadosh, this female that was a balat mum, And then it gave birth after you already redeemed it. Amar Rav Huna, konsan l'kipa vein meitin. You put it into a corral, and it dies. Dehechil avit, because we have no choice over here. L'karvinu, if you want to put him on the mizbeach, mikoach dusha duchuya ka'atu. It's deriving from a dusha duchuya. So, we just said this with regards to a animal that was still kadosh when the blood was born, that might be kedusha duchuya. Certainly after the mother's already redeemed, she is no longer re'uya the mizbeach. She was already redeemed. She is now dechoy, totally pushed up the mizbeach. Therefore, the blood that's born can't be any better than the mother's kedusha. If the mother's kedusha is a kedusha duchuya, because it's post-redemption, so too, the offspring's kedusha is a kedusha dechuya. So that's not an option to put on the mizbeach. Lifrakinu. So what do you want to do? You want to redeem it? That would make sense here. Lo alime limitpas pidyonan. It is not strong enough in order to allow for redemption. Meaning that somewhat counterintuitively, you can only exchange kedusha from an item onto money or change it from item to item if the kedusha is of a high enough form that it actually can be separated away from that item. If kedusha is very subtle, or only a small amount of kedusha is imbued there, you don't have the capacity to redeem it, because you can't, in essence, separate away or distinguish that kedusha independently from the item. So over here, where the kedusha is a kedusha duchuya after the pidyon, it's not high enough level of kedusha that you can actually redeem it. Because of that, you're in a bind. You can't put it on the mizbeach, because the mother is kedusha duchuya, so the blood can't go on the mizbeach. And you can't redeem the vlad, because the vlad is coming from this degraded kedusha. The mother already has been dropped down from being full-fledged kedusha taguf, now to a psulei amuktashim. Psulei amuktashim is already beyond something that you can redeem. It's not a high enough a level of kedusha that you can redeem. So I'm in a bind. The only option left to me is continue to the kippah, to put it into a corral and let it die. Now, truthfully, you could let it graze and wait until it dies. But the problem we have then is takala, which is that people might come to get hanah from it, might come to use it, might come to shecht it. We don't want animals like this floating around, because they'll have to be tagged, we'll have to track them. So we put it kotzino to mikipah, and we let it die. Even though there is tzar balei chayim, there's a purpose to that tzar balei chayim. And in general, when there's purpose for tzar balei chayim, there is no restriction of tzar balei chayim. So that is the suggestion of Rav Huna, that that's what you do with this animal. Now, over here, you will see the expression of the Rabbeinu Gershom and Rashi's Shitot. The Rabbeinu Gershom says, and reads our Gemara simply, "Dekevan deinlem koach lemitpas." Since this blood, you don't have the ability to exchange the kedusha, afheinin yotzim lechulin. They never are released to chulin. What you see from here is what we call kedusha midoraita. What the Rabbeinu Gershom says is the conclusion of the Gemara here is that when it comes to an animal that got pregnant while it was kadosh, and then gave birth after it was redeemed, that offspring that is born to it is kadosh midoraita. That's what the Menachem Eli was. Menachem Eli was, how do you know that if it's born after the pidyon, that it's kadosh midoraita? That's what we learn from Im Zachar, Im Nekeva. And that's what he says here in the end. The fact that it's not strong enough kadosh to redeem it, means it remains kadosh after the mother is redeemed. The vlad is still kadosh when it's born at that point in time. You can never release it from that kedusha, and that's kedusha d'oraita. That's the Rabbeinu Gershom's conclusion based on what he thought the Menachem Eli is. Look at Rashi. Rashi's conclusion over here is very different. Rashi says, lo alimi lemitis pidyonan. They don't have enough kedusha in order to redeem them. That is because shkvar yatsu kedushatan agav pidyoniman. They already lost their kedusha when you redeemed the mother. Dai da surim gzeira ba'almahu. The fact that it's a surah here is only a gzeira ba'alma. Kidulakaman. As we're going to explain in a second in the Gemara. Ava midoraita minatora ubar yerech imohi. I think this is what you were thinking of. That a fetus is considered to be an extension of the mother. It's like another limb of the mother. Upaka kedushata bibhidyon imam. And then when you redeem the mother, automatically, the fetus went with the mother. It's an extension of the mother. You redeem the mother, you're also redeeming the fetus. Fetus has zero kedusha associated with it. If that's the case, then this is chulin gemurim. As Rashi explains over here, dein chiluk ben kedusha de guf to kedusha tamim. There's no distinction between Kedushat HaGuf and Kedushat HaMim in your Pidyon when you redeem it. When you redeem it, it goes free to Chulin. Elosh is Zet Tzarich Mum, is in Tzarich Mum. By Kedushat HaMim, you don't need a Mum in order to redeem it because it was only sanctified for its monetary value in the first place. So you just redeem it. Kedushat HaGuf is a higher level of Kedusha. In order to be able to redeem it, you need a Mum. But both of them function the same way. Once you redeem them, they're totally released to Chulin. Obviously, Psula and Kedushim have residual Yisurim, but that's from Psukim. But otherwise, it's totally redeemed and Chulin. This is Rashi the Shita, though, that if you have a behemah that became pregnant while it was Kadosh, B'Kedushat HaGuf, and then gave birth after it was already redeemed, the animal there is Chulin the Gamre, that Vlad. We said it's a Sur. That Isur in the Mishnah is an Isur Midrabanan. And that's what the Gemara is in 1 second is about to discuss. And then what's the Menahani Milei that we said before? Menahani Milei before is when it became pregnant and gave birth, why it was Kadosh? How do we know that that's Kadosh when it comes from a Balat Mum? That's what the question of the Gemara according to Rashi. And that's what was answered by the Gemara. That's where it's Isur Midoraita. But post Pidyon, there's no Isur Midoraita. So you see, the way they explain Mahane Milei is also now influential in what they think the conclusion of the Gemara is. According to Rabbeinu Gershom, the conclusion of the Gemara is very straightforward. The same question they asked before, this is what the Gemara is addressing now. How do you have an Isur Doraita post Pidyon? And now I'm telling you, there's Kedusha post Pidyon that you can't get rid of. And that's why the animal's Kadosh. For Rashi, Menahane Milei is about when it's all Kadosh, what's the din? Post Kedusha, there's nothing to discuss. And what the Gemara is saying over here is, yeah, it's Asur because you can't redeem it. The reason you can't redeem it is because it's Kulit. So then why is it Asur? Zera Derabanan. That Zera Derabanan is the next line here. Amrei b'marova mishmei derabbi chanina. They say in Eretz Yisrael mishmei derabbi chanina, samoch lepidyonan matpisan l'shem oto zevach. The solution to the problem is not to kontin oto b'kipah, but rather, right before you redeem it, you should declare the fetus to be a kadosh for a zevach. That you should make it into a korban. You should imbue it with full level kedusha. Once you do that, then you're going to have the capacity to deal with that animal afterwards. It won't be too light a kedusha to be dealt with. So that's the solution to the problem. So now where it says, samuch lepidyonan, right before you redeem the fetus, lememra debnei p'deyaninu, you're explaining to me that they can be redeemed. You just said before, they're too low a level of kedusha to be redeemed. Eleima samuch lepidyon iman, matpisam l'shem oto zebach. That right before you redeem the mother, then you change the status, or you put imbue that fetus with a higher level of kedusha. Rashi over here says, "Tahashta chalalei kedusha v'atzman." Over here, you're able to create kedusha themselves. Dechashvino, because you gave it significance in of itself. V'lo paka dushudayo de pidyon iman, and therefore, when you redeem the mother, the pidyon doesn't go. Umamtin achimumu upariklu. Rashi is saying that Rabbi Chanina is solving the problem that Rav Huna had. Rav Huna had a problem, which is the Kedusha is too light to redeem. Rabbi Chanina comes along and says, I have a solution to that problem. We're going to see in a second why Rav Huna won't accept that. And that's the way Rashi reads the Gemara, that the next line of the Gemara is explaining why Rav Huna didn't agree with Rabbi Chanina. But according to Rashi, in theory, Rav Huna agrees with Rabbi Chanina. And you could do this. And it would work. And it should be redeemed with the mother. That's what Rashi said. Chashvinu, when you give it significance in itself and separate it away from the mother, you've taken it away from being a limb of the mother, given its own significance, and therefore the redemption of the mother will not help the fetus anymore. And therefore, afterwards, when it's born, it'll have independent kedusha. So according to Rashi, Rav Huna and Rabbi Chanina agree about that. We're going to see in a second in the Gemara as to why it is that Rav Huna didn't use that suggestion of Rabbi Chanina. That's one way to view it. The other way to view it is that there's a fundamental machloket between them over here as to whether you can do this. You can see here in the Rabbeinu Gershom and the Shita Mekubetzet, they think that there's a much more fundamental machloket here between Rabbi Chanina and Rav Huna. And from the end of today's Gemara, we're going to see that that's what it sounds like, that Rav Huna has to deal with a braita that is problematic for him. It was only a gzeirah derabanan. It wouldn't have been such an issue. So they think that there's actually a fundamental machloket over here. And Rav Huna believes you cannot be matpisid b'kedusha, and therefore you can't raise the level of kedusha for this animal. Since you can't raise the level of kedusha, you can't redeem it, even if it gets in a mum in it later on. So now, time am I. According to Rashi, this is simply a question as to why does Rav Huna not accept Rabbi Hanina's explanation. Even though he agrees fundamentally it should work, why doesn't he accept it? Amar Rabbi Levi, Gzeira, Shemi Gadel Mehen Adarim Adarim. We're afraid that he's going to bring up flocks and flocks of these animals. So according to Rashi, the question of the Gemara is, why didn't Rabuna hold like Rabbi Hanina? Again, Rashi believes fundamentally they agree. So what is that Gzeira de Rabbanan? And that's what Rabbi Levi comes to address, which is, why is it that Rabuna didn't accept Rabbi Hanina? And the answer is, based on what Rashi quotes from Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, which is that we're afraid if we allow you to a solution to the vlad, then you're going to be in no rush to redeem the mother. And if you're in no rush to redeem the mother, you're going to have michshol, you're going to have problems because people are going to come to do giza, voda, and all sorts of other things with the mother because the mother's still kadosh and you don't rush to redeem it. If we take away the possibility of vladot from you, then already you're going to deal with the mother quickly and you're going to redeem her quickly and not leave it around to be a michshol. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Gershom, who thinks that the machlok between Rabuna and Rabbi Hanina is much more fundamental, you might want to know, according to Rabbi Hanina, why we're in a rush to redeem the mother when you can have a solution to the problem. The answer to that is, Adarim Adarim. You're going to have these offspring, and these offspring are going to be kadosh and full-fledged kadusha, and then they'll have more offspring, and then you're going to have these flocks and flocks of hekdesh, and people will come to have takalot with the offspring. Because not only the offspring, but the grand offspring are also going to be kadosh. And if you continue to do this, you can have animals that are kadosh, and you have to track all these animals. So in order to prevent people from doing such a thing, or creating these flocks of animals that are kadosh, we say, take care of the mother immediately and redeem it. Rashi, the Shita Tov, quotes that Shita as well, but he quotes it as being a resolution to why both Rav Huna and Rabbi Hanina want to deal with the mother quickly. Why does Rav Huna want to be kontino talikipah and take care of her quickly? And why does Rabbi Hanina want to have you redeem the mother quickly? And the answer is, Adarim Adarim. We don't want you bringing up these flocks of animals. Then Rashi brings a third explanation from Mipi Amoreh, from his Rebbe, and he says, I think this is the right explanation. But Taima Mai is not about the Machloket, Rav Huna and Rabbi Hanina, but rather about our Mishnah. Why did the Mishnah say it's asur after you redeem the mother? Because according to Rashi, after you redeem it, it's completely chulin. Just like the kedusha left the mother, so too it should have left the vlad, and they should be mutar the gamre. And the answer to that is, we don't want you bringing up flocks and flocks of these animals. If we allow the vlad to be mutar, then you're going to keep this mother around, and you're going to have lots of children born to that. And that's the reason that it's a sur in our Mishnah. Because we don't want you bringing up flocks and flocks of this. Therefore, if we make the vlad a sur, it's going to pressure you to redeem the mother quickly so that we don't have you raising flocks of vladot of psulei muktashim. Once you redeem the mother, we don't worry anymore because then the mother is kulei in the gamre katsvi vayah, and then any offspring that's born then is kulei in the gamre. So it's a way to accelerate or to force you to redeem it, but it's a question on our Mishnah. Now, obviously, that gezeirah also explains why Rav Huna doesn't like Rabbi Hanina's explanation or solution, because the same way in the Mishnah we make the vlad asur because of the gezeirah of Adarim Adarim, so too Rav Huna says we're not going to allow you to get benefit from that vlad or solve the problem of that vlad because of Adarim Adarim, and therefore kontino talikipah, again, to accelerate your losses and force you to redeem the mother quickly. But then you have to ask, about El, Gabe Kadam Muman Lehekteshan, how come then, when the Mum came before Hektesh, how come over there we didn't make Zeira? Shom the Milta de Lo Shchichahi. It's something that's very uncommon, and Rashi quotes over here what we said in Tosafot on the Mishnah, which is that it's illegal. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to be Makdish, something that is a Baal Mum, to be for the Mizbeach. You only can put tamim for mizbeach, bali mumim for damim. Over here, you're taking a balmum and putting it in the mizbeach. You're in violation of a lav. Therefore, it's a milta de lo shchicha. It's not a common concurrence. Since it's not a common occurrence, we're not going to be gozer in that case, Rashi says. But then what about when you have the hektesh before the mum? If the mother became pregnant and gave birth after she was redeemed, we don't say that that blood is a sur. If you're trying to prevent people from keeping these animals around, then you should have made the offspring asur, whether it became pregnant while it was kodesh. and gave birth afterwards, or whether it came pregnant and gave birth afterwards. You should prevent them from getting any benefit like that. So Rashi answers, Kevin dasar tahanach diaber lifnei pijonon lo ati leduchyanu. Since you're already making it a sore for the vladot when she became pregnant while she was kodesh, and then after she's redeemed, you make them a sore, people are going to just get rid of the mother right away. They're going to be pulled down the mother immediately because they're not going to want to keep animals around like that. They're not going to keep it around in order then to bring up more vladot after you've already redeemed it, because they know that the first set of vladot are going to be problematic, and then they're going to already be pulled down it and eat it and not keep it around. So Rashi says, for all those reasons, we're only gozer in this one particular case where it became pregnant while it was kodesh, and then it was burned afterwards. And that's in order to accelerate your dealing with the mother and shefting her and eating her after she's redeemed, rather than keeping her around in order to raise the offspring. Because otherwise, if we don't put this gzera in place, you're going to start the mother, you're going to do gizah, avudah, chalavah, you're going to do all these things with the animal because you're keeping it around to produce offspring. If you think you can produce offspring, you can do all these other things. So even though technically it means all right that they are mutarim, nevertheless the chachamim or gozer, and this is Rashi the Shitato, that the whole post-pijon birth is only a din de rabbonon, not a din de oraita. Gemara continues, Baimine Ravina Mirab Sheshet. Ravina asks Rav Sheshet, Ma'u shemat pisan l'chol zevach sheyirtzeh. This in utero fetus, where Rabbi Chanina suggested that you can be makdishit to another zevach, can you be makdishit to any korban that you want? Or are you limited to the korban that the mother is? Amalei ein matpisan. You're not allowed to do it. My daimo. What's the reason? Why can't you make it into any korban that you want? Amalei gamar bisharecha bisharecha mi bechor. You have a gzereshava bisharecha. In Vav Yud Bet, that Vav, it says, rak b'cholavat nafshecha. Tizbach v'chaldu basarak v'vrat Hashem elokecha shetan lecha v'chol she'arecha. Atamei v'ator yochlenu katzvi v'chayal. And by Bechor it says, v'erach tenfah pasuch chabed in Dvarim, v'sharecha tochalenu atamei v'ator yochta katzvi v'chayal. So there's a she'arecha by Bechor, she'arecha by psulei amukdashim. And that gzer shov is, v'sharecha v'sharecha mi Bechor. Ma Bechor im b'pisyan d'chol zevach shir tse. Just like by Bechor you can't choose which korban the offspring is going to be, dichtiv, because it says, Vayikra Chavzayin, Zach Bechor, Shemukar Lashem Bebeima, Lo Yabdishi Shoto, Im Shoim Se, Lashem, Hu. You don't have a choice about being Makdishit. It's automatically a Bechor. You have no control over it. Avani, Imba Bissam, the Chol Zevach Shir Tse. So to over here, you can't determine what it is. It only can be whatever the mother is. And over here, the mother makes it into a Bechor, so too by Psulim Makdishim. The mother allows you to be makdish to the fetus, but only to the nature or the korban that the mother is. Tosfot over here questions that a little bit because he says there's a machloket about when something becomes kodosh in utero. A bechor only becomes kodosh once it's born through peterechem. Aval b'meimo yochol lishnoto lezevach acher. While it's in utero, you can do whatever you want with it. You can put a mum in it if you want. That's one of the ways they solve the problem. But of course, putting it a mum in utero because it's not kodosh yet. It's not kadosh yet, you can make it into any korban you want. If that's the case, what's the proof over here? We're looking for something from Bechor to Psulei Mukdashim, but Bechor is only after it's born. Here we're trying to do something in utero. In utero, for Bechor, you can do whatever you want. So why not by Psulei Mukdashim? He says, Mikol makom yalfina minei, it still is a good source for it. According to the one who says that a fetus is kadosh in utero, then Psulei Mukdashim and Bechor are no different. Bechor is kadosh from the outset, and you can't do anything to it. And same thing with Psulei Mukdashim. But on the other hand, if you believe that only Behaviatan Kadoshin, only once they are born that they are Kadosh, then it's not similar to a Bechor before it's born, because over there it only becomes Kadosh after it's born, and here you want to make it Kadosh while it's a fetus. So the answer is that over there the mother is influential. The mother influences what the Kedusha of the fetus is. And so to over here, by Psulei Mukdashim, the mother will influence the Kedusha. So over there, you can do whatever you want with the fetus in utero, but when it's born, there's only one Kedusha. That's what the influence of the mother is. So to by Psulei Mukdashim, since the mother is already Kadosh, it will be influential in determining what the blood could be when it comes out. All right, so now the Gemara says, Tanya Kavate de Rav Sheshet. We have a very large braita here. Towards the end of the braita, we're going to see that it's supportive of Rav Sheshet's contention over here, which is that you cannot imbue it with kedusha other than the kedusha of the mother. That is kodeshim shekadam mum kavu lehekdesham. It's like the ratio of our mishnah where the mum kavu was there before you made it kodesh. Viniftu, and they were redeemed. Chayvim bebechorah matanot. We saw that in our mishnah right there. Chulin the gamrei. The chayav bebechorah matanot. Ben lifnei pidyonan. Ben achar pidyonan. Whether before they were redeemed, after they were redeemed, hagozeis vavei behem enu sofeget arbayim. You don't get malkot. Now, before pidyon, it's a sur to do gizan avodah them because it's hektish. But there's still no lav. You're not going to get malkot for it because it's a problem of hektish. It's not a problem of a korban. It doesn't have to do shatagu. It's a problem of misappropriating hektish. But after it's redeemed, it's kulin the gamrei, and then there's no isur yemin. Ben lifnei pidyonan, ben achar pidyonan. Whether before they're redeemed or after they're redeemed, there is no tumura. After they're redeemed, they're chulein, of course. Before they're redeemed, they only have kedushat amim, not kedushat aguf. And tumura is dependent on kedushat aguf. And we also learned the limud before, that only tov mi ikaro. Only something that was kedushat aguf originally has the capacity to create tumura. But if it was rami ikaro, that doesn't have the capacity to create tumura. V'lifnei pidyonan molin ben. And for the same reason you can't do gizav avodah, that's because before they're redeemed, there's a din of me'ilah. After they are redeemed, there's no din of me'ilah. They went out to chulin, the gamrei. Vladoteim chol, their offspring are chulin, just like they are. V'niftin t'mimim. And you can redeem them even if they don't have a mum in them. That was the question that we asked before about the vladot. Do the vladot need a mum in them? Or do they not need a mumim? Since they're coming from a mother that already has a mumim, or are they already kedushat duchuyan, they can be redeemed right away? Or do you have to wait for them to have a mumim in them? That was the question that we asked on the top of Yudalid Amud Bet. That lo ye tafel chamur min ikar, that the offspring can't be any more than the mother, and therefore, the offspring, they don't any mumim to be redeemed. And, umat bisam, the whole zevach shirtzeh. And if you want to be makdish the vlad, since the vlad is chulin, you can make them into any korban that you want. You can do anything you want with it. Klalo shodavar. The principle here is, harei chaglin, nechol debivayim. They are chulin, the gamrei, and the chabahem, elo mitzvot, ilui bilvad. The only mitzvah you have over here is to assess it, to get the value out of this animal. That's what you have, the mitzvah that you have here. Aval, this is the safe of our mishnah, kadam ek tesham et muman. They was kadosh v'dushat aguf before it got a mum kavua. Oh, mum over, lahakdishan, or it only had a temporary mum when you were makdishit, and then afterwards it became a mum kavua, it got a mum kavua. So in those cases you have dushat aguf with a mum. Then if they're redeemed, turim min habechora min hamatanot, then you're patur min habechora matanot. That's what we learned in the beginning of today's daf, because katzvi v'chaayal. Ben lifnei pidyonan, ben achar pidyonan, whether before you redeemed or after you redeemed them, hagozeis v'alvei behem sofeget darabayim. Then you are subject to malkot because you're under the rubric of lo tavod b'chor sherecha, lo tagoz b'chor tzarecha, which we learned to all kodoshim, that there's a restriction against gizav avodah by kodoshim. After you redeem them, we also had the restriction of tizbach v'chal debazar, tizbach v'lo gizah. And that means that the lav is still alive even after they are psulem kodoshim that are redeemed. Ben lifnei pidyonan, ben achar pidyonan, osim t'mura. They have the capacity to create t'mura, whether before they were redeemed or after they are redeemed. Before they are redeemed because they have kedushat aguf. After they are redeemed, we haven't learned the reason for that, and we haven't learned what you do with it, but the Gemara will discuss that upcoming when it dissects this braita. Lifnei pidyonan, molin v'en. Before they are redeemed, they have a din of me'ilah. Achar pidyonan, ein molin v'en. After they are redeemed, then there is no me'ilah, because me'ilah only exists for something that has kedushah, whether it's kedushat berekabait, or kedushah tamim, or kedushah taguf. Once the kedushah is removed, there's no din of me'ilah. Vladoteim kodesh. Their offspring are kodesh. That's what we've been discussing all along over here, that the offspring are kodesh. Whether that means midorabanan, midoraita, will depend on Rabbeinu Gershom or Rashi. Ve'niftim t'mimim. And then, since they are kodesh, you can't redeem them where they're tamim. You need them to get a mum before you can redeem them. Vein matpisin l'chol zevach shirtzeh. And you don't have the option to make the vlad into anything you want. So assuming that they became pregnant before they were redeemed, and then they gave birth afterwards, they are kadosh. That kedushah then makes it that Ain Nivdim to be Mim, you have to wait for them to get a Mum in order for them to be redeemed. You can't pick whatever korban you have to, if you're going to be mapisit before the mother is redeemed, then you have to do it to the mother's kedusha or the mother's type of korban. Here's the principle. They are hekdesh for everything. Don't think you're allowed to do is eat them. So yeah, to redeem them, you took away the kedusha. There's no meal anymore. But other than that, all the restrictions of something that's kadosh still exist, with the exception of your capacity to eat it. And that's what the Torah was matir. Now Gemara says, the principle of the Reisha, that comes to teach you that if you shef them outside, you're a patur. That's like our Mishnah said, Shkitat Chutz, when Mumam Kadam Naekdei Sham, there's no Shkitat Chutz, because they have to be Roi Bifnim in order to be Chayav B'chutz. Over here, they're not Roi Bifnim, because they had a Mum before they ever became Hekdesh. Klalo Shodavar the Seifa, Klal of the Seifa that says you're Kadosh for everything, come to include its milk, and that the milk remains a sur. Rashi over here says, why don't you say the klalo shel davar? Comes to tell you that shkitat chutz is chayav. That's what we said in our Mishnah, that shkitat chutz is chayav. Rashi says it's because it's only a narrow case. If you remember the Mishnah, we said it's only according to Rabbi Akiva, where dokin shebayin is a mom, and that's a mom im alu lo yerdu. That's the one case where shkitat chutz would be chayav. So you don't write a klalo shel davar to include something where it's a very narrow scope and case. Because otherwise you have to give all the details. If you don't get the details, you can't come and include it. So therefore, the Gemara doesn't do this. And you don't need the klal duration to tell them milk is mutar. Dehashtav ladan, de gufan dami, duber yerachimo shari. Because in the reisha, the offspring is chulin. Even though it's an extension of the mother, then of course the milk, which is just water, for sure should be mutar. So that's why you can't use whatever klal you use for the reisha, you can't use for the seifa. And vice versa. Amamar. Now the Gemara says about that braita. Ein nifdim tmimim, ve'ein mapisim l'chol zerach shir tzeh. So now we're going to be medayet. Tmimim hu dolo mifrkei, hal beli mumim mifrkei. So from that deal, if you say, while they're a tamim, you can't redeem them. But once they become a balmum, you can redeem them. L'chol zerach shir tzeh. It says there that you can't change them to whatever kudusha you want. Hu dein mapisan. Haloto zevach matpisan. So you can't do it to any zevach you want, but you can make it the same as the mother. Heche mishkachala. Where do you find a case like that? The matpisan oto zevach v'niftim b'muman. It's a case where you made it into the same kedusha as the mother, and then you can be podeit b'muman. Because otherwise, if it's born, we said before, it doesn't have a high enough kedusha to be redeemed. The only way you can get a high enough level of kedusha to be redeemed is if you're machtishit in utero. So now, the case of being makdishit in utero, and it's saying you can do it for that particular zevach, which is supportive of Rav Sheshit. This is the proof to Rav Sheshit in our Braita. But then it also says, afterwards, when it's born, you can redeem it when it gets a mum in it. That's like Rabbi Chanina, and is Nehavi Tiyupta, the Rav Huna. And that's a problem for Rav Huna, before we said they have to konsino to the kippah. Why doesn't he use the solution of Rabbi Chanina? Amrucha Rav Huna, who attend afilu bali mumim ain nifdim. Even bali mumim can't be redeemed. Baidi the tana reisha nifdim tmimim, tana nami seifa ain nifdim tmimim. Because in the reisha where you can redeem them when they're a tamim, so in the seifa it just says you can't redeem them when tamim to give a parallel structure. Baidi the tana reisha the kol zevach shir tzeh, tana nami seifa the kol zevach shir tzeh. And just like in the reisha you can be makdishit to whatever you want, in the seifa it says you can't be makdishit to anything you want. So the language in the Seifa is not for a diuk out of it. It's only there because of the parallel structure to the Reisha. So don't make any diukim out of the Seifa. And that's how Rav Huna will learn the Braita, so it's not a problem for him. Because he says, you can't be matpisit in utero, even for the kedusha of the mother. And number two is, you can't redeem it afterwards. Konsino to the kippa. So how does he deal with the Braita? He says that the latter half of the Braita is not coming to tell you, but rather telling you, it's the parallel structure to the Reisha, but ain't Ochanami. Even if it was for the same Kedusha, you couldn't do it. Even if it was a Balmum, you can't redeem it. And that would then be like Rav Huna Shita that Konsino told the Kippah. Here we'll stop here by the two dots on Tetzayin Amud Aleph.